Putnam, everybody. Hello. 12/16/2014. And we will be taking a break till the beginning of the year. And so starting with now, we're enjoying the first day of Hanukkah and the first day of solstice. And even though we're entering into the darkest part of the year, we're still celebrating the balance of the darkness and the light. And we were just talking about rain in California and the balance of rain and sunshine. So we know that when we can understand that all creation is polarity, we can embrace all polarities as opposed to always want things to be our way, right? Be this way. Always have sunshine. No, always have this. Always have that. So that's just as much of an imbalance as any other imbalance, any other quote-unquote duality thinking. So, yeah, the lesson for the solstice that Yogi Bhajan is telling us is learn to enjoy the polarities. And those words may seem simple or simplistic or something that we already know, but he's saying there's a deeper meaning to go deep into. The deeper you go into the darkness, the deeper you can go into the light. And then he said, what he's telling us is that we have to go through the black hole of our subconscious to get to other dimensions. And he's saying that this period of time is an access point to expand the dimensions of consciousness, where the gurus live, where the Sri Guru Granth Sahib is being created anew every moment. With every time we say it, that there's a parallel dimension where consciousness is already in existence, and we're balancing the consciousness of the seen and the unseen, the darkness and the light at the solstice time. That's what he's telling us. We're balancing the consciousness. We're balancing the consciousness of the seen and the unseen. So he's saying, for those of us in this world, know that we're not working alone. And he doesn't mean, obviously, we're working with each other. We're working in groups, meditations and things. But he's saying to be aware that when we're speaking and, you know, the fields that we're holding, that the balance of what we can't see, the gurus, the teachers, that they're working with us or trying to work with us to balance, to live in a balanced, harmonic way on the planet. And so to be more aware that we're working with other dimensions that we can't see when we speak, when we feel, when we move into action, when we're in action. He's saying the universe, the seen and the unseen, the polarity of the universe is in constant balance. So be aware to work more consciously all the time with the unseen. He's saying that's the gift of the darkness of the solstice, the shortest day of the year. So he's saying that's the gift to receive that. And once we can receive that gift, we also can receive the blessing. He's saying, and I love what Arit was saying about that, if we're putting into the vortex or into the field lack consciousness, that we're going to create a grid of lack. And so he's, Yogi Bhajan, saying, yes, that's right. And this is a time to penetrate the darkness, to penetrate the limiting grids of darkness. This is the most powerful time, these 10 days. So he's saying, be aware of your thoughts and what you say and your meditations, and make everything a deep penetration like an arrow. We're in Sagittarius right now. So Sagittarius is the archer, that which penetrates the darkness, penetrates the void, penetrates the cold heart. Sagittarius is the Eros energy. When, wow, we've opened up our heart to love, those times when we've done that, when anybody's done that, whether it's just even loving an animal, or I'm, you know, when I take walks sometimes and I see really cute little dogs or puppies and I feel their love so much. And I was walking the other day, the Christmas parade here, and there was just the cutest dog, and I just sort of reached out to it and just touched it very lightly, and then it walked over to me as much as it could with all the people and its owner and being on a leash. It kind of backed up towards me because it wanted to connect with me more, and I started massaging its spine and everything like I always did with my dogs. And I could just feel that the vibration of the love that just penetrated this whole, there was probably, I don't know, there was hundreds of people at this parade, but I felt the most love and the most penetrating frequency with my connection with this dog than I felt with all this confusion and loud music and people around me. That touched me the most. That was the most expansive breaking out of the field of lack, my connection with that dog. So it's funny. So Yogi Bhajan is saying, look for those moments and expand those moments where you're not in like the hypnosis of whatever it is, the lack consciousness or things being bad or people not being having enough. So don't look on poor starving people as poor starving people, because in quantum physics, as we know, the observer changes the experiment. The observer changes what's being observed. He's saying, look on the blessing that that person has a beautiful soul, and look at the fullness of their soul, and that will help. Just looking at that in that way will help to start to ease the pressure of the quarantine of poverty on the planet. He's saying like a quarantine, like we quarantine people, and he's saying that that's almost like a kind of, I don't know, whatever you call it, like racism, when we're looking at poverty people as we're almost quarantining them with our thoughts. We're saying open up your thoughts to include the polarity. Yes, there is the darkness of the poverty or whatever it is, but look at the polarity, the light of their soul, and let the light come in and see the fullness that they're here on the planet, and that the mother can also nourish them. And that alone, he said, even more than sending money, will start to break the grid, break the frequency, break the hypnosis that we have to live on a planet in poverty. So that's part of what he's telling us right now. So it's what we've been talking about. So thank you, everybody that's been sharing that. So yeah, let's take a breath. Beautiful. Yeah, so here we are in Sagittarius until December 21st, which is the actual solstice day, the actual shortest day. So we've got about looking what is the deeper meaning of life at this moment, life on the planet. Sagittarius, higher mind, wants to know the mystical meanings. What's the higher meaning of life? So that's what we're talking about, how to take the high road, but the high road in our thinking, the high road in our visualization, the high road in how we're seeing life, and defining, like, what's really important in our life. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, we have to accomplish these huge life goals, like whatever that is, but maybe if we just accomplish how we manage our thinking, how we manage our projections, and it's more of, with the solstice, and it's more of an internal, these are more like internal states of being rather than external goals, where in the summer it's more, the goals are kind of more externalized. So we've got this active Sagittarius energy that helps us look and see what direction are we taking and what is directing us. So that's what I'm talking about with balancing the fields, the known and the unknown. We are being directed when we let it come in by the unseen, the unknown, the higher frequencies of consciousness, of the etheric field of God consciousness. We can allow ourselves to be directed and interact with that field to move into the sahaj, the flow of life, the direction of life. So that's where we want to use that frequency to redefine how we want to be and how we want to get there, rather than what are our goals, where are we going. It's more like, what's going to carry us across? What are we going to ride on Santa's sleigh, you know, while we're getting to deliver the gifts to the children? So it's the carrier, what's going to carry us across. So we're looking at more the being. The solstice is more, how are we being as we move towards our goals? what's the vibrational signature that we're carrying that carries us across. So that's what we're looking at right now with the Sag. So we use our higher mind, the ninth house. The higher mind, when we look at our perspective, we move into a soul perspective, and then we can identify from a soul perspective what are our emotions that vibrate with that. What's the devotion? What's the mental state of mind? What's the mantra? What's the social filter? Is it love? Is it, you know, the ego mind? Is it the higher mind? So it's all viewing our reality and looking how we've limited our perspective. So it gives us a chance to expand our perspective. That's what this time is about. And we want to really appreciate the spiritual fulfillment. So how we allow spirit to come in and feel that fulfillment, feel that happiness rather than lack, lack, lack. So that's what we're doing right now. And we did have, the other day, I was teaching a yoga class. It was on Sunday.
Is anyone else there? Hello?
Hi. I think she lost the connection.
I'll text her, but I think most of the time the phone tells her. She's still talking.
Sorry, everybody. It was, like, really funny. I had a feeling. I thought, uh-oh. And then right before I had that feeling, then the line disconnected, but I don't know. Anyway, so on Sunday we had the 6th of the 7th, what we've been talking about, the Uranus and Pluto squares. So we had the 6th square, and we have one more. So this is really significant. We've been talking about this, but we have one more of these paradigm-shifting squares. Paradigm-shifting squares, oh my gosh. So what it is, it's really a buildup of pressure. So when you have two things squaring each other and they're both pressurizing and they're both pushing, what does it mean? It means something has to give. Something's going to move. So we're really being pressurized during this time. So something has to give. Things have to shift. And this is a whole planetary pattern. So you can be feeling it personally in your own life, or you can be feeling the planetary pattern that will build up. And before the final exact square, which is in March of 2015. So the outer planets, Uranus and Pluto, move very slowly, remembering that Uranus is an 84-year cycle around the sun, where Earth is a year cycle around the sun. So when we get these outer planets moving into a configuration that affects us, it's a more permanent change, as opposed to just, you know, like a moon cycle. We could feel a certain way one day or 2 days, and then, you know, 2.5 days later, we feel completely different, or 5 minutes later. So it's the exact opposite of that. So whatever you feel that you need to change in your life, these are deeper, these are really, really more permanent changes. So it's we're looking at more permanent planetary paradigm shifts right now because of this square. And we've got... we're looking at an impact that's going to be not only transformational, but long-lasting transformation, which is actually really a good thing. So we've got these conjunctions, and they actually started in 1965. And 1966, we had exact conjunctions of Uranus and Pluto. So we know the 60s. Summer of Love and all that stuff and all the music kind of opened us up. So just think that this is a continuation of that, and yay, we want to open up to more love and see how it shows up. So this is what we're doing. We're activating these squares, and we have to reevaluate personally and, like I said, on a planetary scale. We have to look and see, and it will be seen by the world, what is actually real and what's working and what's not working. And then we can move into a perspective as a culture, as a world, something that's going to make this world a better place for everyone. So it's when you think of the squares, it's like a structure. So the structures have to change. It's like we're in a Leaning Tower of Pisa moment. Some things are going to fall, and the things that actually work, that are actually stable for these frequencies, are going to rise, and we're going to have new structures that are stable for the higher frequencies. So we've got the basically Piscean or 3D structures that are built on a crumbling foundation kind of falling down around us. So it's kind of a time of things falling apart and then the phoenix rising from the ashes. We've been talking about that. But this is requiring us to enter new territory, and it could feel kind of insecure and jumping into the unknown. That's why Yogi Bhajan was telling us this is really a time, especially as we move into an 8-year, moving into being friendly with the unknown, getting familiar, learning how to trust that which we can't see, learning how to trust our intuition, our higher consciousness, our guides, our meditations, our mantras. We're moving into expanding our trust, and then that's going to actually give us greater freedom to see what's possible rather than feeling constricted. So it's the only way out of the constrictions of, you know, rigid thinking or structures that can confine us and the world at large, and move into more heart-centered ways so we can have a collective reality that works for everybody. So these squares actually require action. So there may be something in your life that you wanted for a long time to shift, or there may be planetary things that are shifting. But like I said, with the two forces, if you think of the corners of the squares, they're pushing against each other. So something's got to shift. Something's got to shift. So it requires us to take action. Otherwise, we can just feel very pressurized and uncomfortable till we actually shift things to a more sustainable position or a more sustainable worldview or a more sustainable perspective, whatever that is. So if you're feeling really antsy, like, oh, I just got to do something about that, whatever it is, I just got to change my diet or change that habit, or whatever you're internally processing, it is a feeling of kind of being pressurized till you get more in alignment with the frequencies that are coming in. And the Pluto really has to do with, you know, what is our internal state of mind. And it really pushes us to the edges of what's stopping us from evolving, what's stopping us from moving to the next step, what's stopping us from taking that next leap of faith to be a more expanded, you know, kind of different person, to release our fears and taking us to the next level. So sometimes I know we get distracted, but the Pluto Uranus is going to keep bringing us back. So if there's a theme in your mind that keeps coming back and coming back, then that's the place that you need to really maybe make some changes. So we also got Jupiter going retrograde, and again, that's more of a going inside and seeing what's keeping us from expanding. So Okay, everybody, we're going to chant the mantra Ardas Bai'i. Ardas is prayer, and this is given by Guru Amar Das, the prayer of the prayerless, the hope of the hopeless. His compassion, his never judging, even though people really ridiculed him and made fun of him, he kept persevering. His devotion to the unknown, to serving the divine. So this is the time to, this is a prayer for ourselves, for the planet. It's a prayer to open up the consciousness.